Welcome, everybody, to the Los Angeles Lakers shooting practice. I'm Anthony Irwin, recording Locked On Lakers with Pete Zayas. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good. You should probably take them double rims off.
Is it possible to play with like zero rims? Can the Lakers just shoot on a net?
Lord have mercy. It's like one of those rims that like don't have a backboard, don't have a net on it. You're like, that went in, right? Like, I think that went in. No, I didn't go in. That was an air ball, actually. Yeah.
It's like those, remember those rims that like that little piece of metal that was behind, like that would connect the rim to the backboard, was just a little bit longer than it probably should have been.
The heel of it, yes.
Yeah. Like they,
I haven't thought of that in years. That's great.
And like, no, nobody was like everybody was thrown way off, and like 15-point games would take a year to finish.
Yep.
Because even layups wouldn't properly go in right. Yes. Yeah. We are, the Lakers just lost to the Houston Rockets, 113-97. The Lakers shot 2 of 19 from 3-point range, continuing this trend of not being able to make anything. My question to you, Pete, is, are you going to go back and rewatch all of these missed 3-pointers too?
We're trying to save my eyes. So, and my soul. Now, I don't think I'll be doing a full rewatch on these threes. I think, like, look, man, am I supposed to be worked up? Like, they started Quinn Cook, and Bron didn't play, and Caruso didn't play, and THT, who played well in his minutes, but, like, man, this is an exhibition game. Like, I know they ain't been able to hit anything for more than just this one game, but, like, this is not the version of the team that's really trying. Like, they tried to win the Clippers game, and they did. They looked like crap in parts of that. I'm not saying that there's no cause for concern, especially in our shooting. Like I tweeted out earlier, my thing with our shooting is that we're super high variance. There's a version of this team that hits like 48% of their threes as well. And a lot of times we're either hitting like half our threes or like none of our threes and very little in between. So if we get one of them 3, 4, 5 game stretches, especially against a team like Houston, who's very capable on the other end of that, this Houston team could totally beat us in a 7-game series. We get cold at the wrong time, they get hot at the right time. It don't matter how many offensive rebounds we get. So I don't want to act like I'm not concerned. But like, man, this is an exhibition game for all intents and purposes. And we ain't been playing that hard. So, like, should we be playing harder and should we be trying to win these games? We only got 3 left. I don't really want to face Damian freaking Lillard in the first round with us, you know, coming out of, right. It's like we had a bunch of like Thanksgiving turkey and we got the itis, and then we got Damian Lillard coming and dropping 54 on us in game one. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Right. Like that we get that, you know, Portland would take a couple games from us in the first round. Like, we got to start ramping up soon. But in these games so far, we just haven't even really, you know, tried that much. So that's where I'm at. Are you more concerned?
I don't know if I go so far as to say concerned, because like you're saying, if my job on the show was to summarize a game as quickly as possible, I would say Quinn Cook played 29 minutes and it went how you thought it went. You know?
sure.
So in that respect, like, no, I'm not concerned. There are aspects of this that do have me kind of looking at this entire situation and saying, all right, we got to figure out a few things here. Starting with the chemistry. The chemistry to me has been a strength. It's one of the separating factors between the Lakers and Clippers. Yeah. And this whole thing with JaVale McGee, like, being a scratch right before the game, and then it's being explained off as like, no, yeah, he was just, we wanted to see how the Lakers matched up against small ball or whatever, which you could have said before the game and announcing that he wasn't going to play, you know. You have that weird Joe Vardon report that involves a piece of paper and a theory that LeBron rebutted. You had that other quote from Frank Vogel saying, you know, being asked about the starting lineup, and he said it's a bigger issue than that. And you have all of this kind of mixed up. And here's my math. I'll do it. I'll break it down like this. The Lakers, heading into this thing, are missing Avery Bradley, who was somebody, they had the Avery Bradley Challenge, right? That mm-hmm. that ignited passion, not just on the defensive end, but energy throughout the energy throughout.
It's like a mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're missing that. They're missing somebody in Rajon Rondo, who, for all his faults, is somebody that a lot of people look up to, and had a voice that carried a lot of weight in that locker room.
They're both a part of the personality of this team.
Yep. They're missing Lionel Hollins, right? Who mm-hmm. is not out there and is somebody that a lot of the veterans especially really, really trust and really look up to. The other player that, you know, he left the team before all of this, but DeMarcus Cousins was somebody that the player said would challenge LeBron and would challenge Anthony Davis because of his stature in the league, and he could do that kind of a thing. And, you know, they bring in Dion Waiters, who isn't that kind of a guy, J.R. Smith, who isn't really known for that kind of thing. And you know, if you just look at chemistry from a mathematics perspective, which it is not, you know, it is not a clear-cut equational kind of thing. But if you were just to look at the kind of voices that the Lakers do not have right now and the kind of people that they tried to replace those guys with, and now you get these weird kind of, you know, peripheral reports, I don't think it... I'm not going to go so far as to say there's a direct correlation, but I don't think it's a coincidence either.
I liked how you hit the boom mic stand a couple more times during that to really
still going, man.
Stay with the bit. To stay with the bit, yeah. So you're not wrong with any of that, man, but they haven't tried. It's like such a fundamental, foundational ingredient of, like, I'm not saying they're right to have not really tried. I'm just saying that that's what it is. And so like, there's no version of chemistry that works without that as that first component. So if we see LeBron really going balls to the wall and we're still, you know, chucking him off the backboard, like that one gif of that guy in the gym, right? Like, hey, I will start to be concerned. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I'm just saying that, like, that's so foundational that it's like an incomplete grade where They've stunk. Their shooting has stunk. Their offense has stunk. There's no flow. There's no mojo. There's none of that positive vibes and chemistry. All of that's true. But there can't be that. We saw even with as wonderful as this season was, when they were capable of going down like 15-0 to the Wizards to start a game. This was not something that was uncharacteristic of the team. They had such an obvious switch. Now, if there was some precedent in Orlando of them playing really well in Orlando and making shots in Orlando that we could fall back on, I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
But, like, they're just not, man. Like, they're just not engaged. These are exhibition games. And, you know, where if they, you know, if AD wants to go after Gobert for a little bit, he'll turn up the intensity. Or if, you know, LeBron had a stretch against Utah as well after AD dominated, LeBron started the fourth quarter and was just, like, killing dudes. And so, like, I don't know, man. It's even with all of that, without Quinn Cook playing 29 minutes with THT, there's a... And I'm not saying we got the Rockets' best shot. We were down by like four at one point in the fourth quarter.
That was a fun little run.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm blind to something. But I don't know. I just think this team is really good. They're just not trying as hard as they will be trying, hopefully, in the very near future. Maybe I'm just blind.
There's something to be said about the Lakers also not wanting to show their hand against Houston if they didn't have to.
That's a really good point.
From a purely basketball, long-term strategic standpoint, like, I don't think it's really a coincidence that Caruso didn't play or that LeBron didn't play. I also don't think it's a coincidence that Davis did play, right? He wants to try to get a feel for how PJ Tucker is going to guard him.
Good point. Because it's so unconventional. That's a great point.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the way I think the Lakers are using this as another one of those ramp up games, I just wish it wasn't accompanied by all that other shit. You know, I wish it wasn't accompanied by all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair. It's fair.
Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, because you did go back and watch, like, praise your soul, man. There's like a special like realm of Lakers heaven that you're going to arrive to.
Hey, man, it's my job is to watch. Who are we to? I watch freaking Lakers for like my job. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Who do I got to complain about? It ain't always pretty, but damn, man, I want like this.
Look, man, I would complain about that. I would complain about watching nothing but the Lakers three-pointers that they've taken in the bubble so far.
That's bro, like, I think that's I'm still on my couch with an adult beverage. Like, yeah, already stepped into that
market.
Yeah, man, I got a good life.
Let's take a quick second though, because I do want to see if you noticed kind of any trends as you were doing that, as you were going through that. So we'll come back to that. And then I do kind of want to dive a little deeper into the Lakers-Houston matchup, albeit, you know, the disclaimer here is obviously that it was a weird matchup altogether tonight. But just in general, I think there's something to be said there. I keep on hitting the big I didn't do that on purpose, but yeah, there's plenty of stuff here that we can still kind of chew on here. So let's come back and do that here in a bit. All right, so the Lakers, what are they shooting? Like, what's their percentage, right? So they went 10.5% tonight. And I think they're in like are they in the 20s?
Yeah, it's like 23% or something like that. Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, man.
So was there anything that you noticed from their shooting? Like, is it just a matter of them missing shots? Is it a matter of a different kind of shot that is being made available to them? Is it the kind of guys who are taking those shots, right? Like Deion Waiters, I think, is shooting like 13% from 3-point range in the bubble. So like, what is it that you have noticed the most?
All right, so LeBron and AD and Vogel have all insisted that we're getting quality looks. We're just not making shots. And those 139 attempts that I watched this morning, that certainly bears that out, right? There were 51 shots that I considered open where the shooter either had their feet set or they were stepping into a shot, like a transition shot. I lumped basically all of these are the very best threes that you can get, right? And we got 51 of the 139 were the ideal type of threes. Mm-hmm. And we made, what was it, 13 of them? I think it was 13 of 51, right? Yeah.
The expectation there would be to make about 25 to 30 of them.
Yeah, you're looking not that many, but 20 to 25.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there, right? And
I had to do math. So, that's just never.
Yeah, so say we make 20 of them rather than the 13 that we made. That's an extra 21 points distributed over four games. That's a lot of points. That's five more points per game, and that's significant. We don't shoot the ball when we're moving side to side particularly well. Neither Danny Green nor KCP even are that good at shooting coming off of screens. So that's not something that we really have in our arsenal, but we've been particularly poor at that. We had LeBron do that a little bit more. I don't know if you've noticed him coming out of the corner for handoffs or like him coming off of screens more since we've been in the bubble. I think that plays into some of the, hey, let's try some things out. Right.
Yeah.
That is the very nature of this stretch of games and like the value that you can get out of it. But when you do that, there's a degree of like, oh, this, you know, is not going to look that great. That's why I think we probably need to get back to doing what we do well soon and tightening up the rotation just so we can get some reps at that before we face Damian freaking Lillard in the first round. We'll see if we get them. Right. But so we don't shoot the ball particularly well going laterally. Waiters has taken some terrible shots in the last few games.
Yeah.
Some really contested ones. Our pull-ups have been poor because LeBron's been poor on them and Waiters has as well. I have more confidence in LeBron to hit the type of shots he's been taking versus the ones that Waiters have been taking, although I'm less familiar with Waiters' game. Those are basically like, by and large, man, we're getting good looks and not making them.
Yeah, I... What made me
a lot of them are short too, by the way. A lot of them are short, which could indicate some legs.
What made me nervous about this game in particular was, and again, it's different set of players who were playing in it, you know, so that needs to be pointed out. But you look at the starters, right? Kyle Kuzma plays 30 minutes, gets 4 3-pointers up. Quinn Cook plays 29 minutes. If there's anybody who would be out there with a green light, it'd be Quinn Cook, right? He gets 3-pointers up. Danny Green's out there for 25 minutes. He doesn't get any 3-pointers up. Mm-hmm. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is out there for 20 minutes. He gets 1 3-point attempt up there. And, you know, Harrison, I guess, asked Vogel after the game about confidence and whether he's concerned that that might be, you know, starting to become an issue here, right? And Vogel said the right thing, that he's not going to let that become an issue. They're too good of shooters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that is kind of damning evidence that they have shot so poorly. And then in this game against this opponent specifically, mm-hmm. they didn't get them up. You know,
them not getting them up in this game is due to LeBron. LeBron's such he's the engine. Like, look, LeBron would make any team in the NBA immensely better. Mm-hmm. Stacked on top of that is that this team is specifically built around the talents of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Right. So like guys who can't do certain things in other situations, that's not as big of a deal because we've got LeBron and we've got this ball dominant type guy. So taking LeBron out of the equation for us, like we've been bad all year. And any time that LeBron doesn't play, we're going to take a significant drop off of what mm-hmm. we do. Because again, with the financial restrictions of what we have, you know, in terms of cap, with getting AD and what the money we had to work with, we had to get flawed guys that were not terribly well-rounded. But you can find guys whose specialties complement LeBron James. But if you take LeBron James out of that equation, all of a sudden those guys' weaknesses really bubble up to the surface because they have to do those things more often. So we didn't have any problem getting shots up in previous games. We've been in the 30s and 40s of 3-point attempts, which is where I think we want to be, probably more in the 30 range than, I think 40 is too high for us for this particular roster. But yeah, in this game we were in the teens. I think that's mostly a function of LeBron.
I think you're right. And it's like I said at the end of last segment, that I just wish it wasn't with all this other stuff going on, you know?
Sure.
If the Lakers were shooting well and then all of a sudden they didn't get the shots up today, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, this is, and again, you're probably objectively right. But the fact that they have shot so poorly and then to go from that to now not getting shots up, mm-hmm. And especially like one of the points you made a second ago is that like guys are still trying to get those shots up anyway, even if they're contested, right? Deion Waiters is shooting a bunch of contested 3-pointers off the dribble, which is not something that you want, but that still tells me like, okay, he's still trying to get those shots up there. And somebody like Quinn Cook, that is literally what he's paid to do. He's paid to spread the floor off of the dribble, especially in some pick and roll spots. Right. And yet, here we are. So look, I tend to think it's a one-off thing, especially when you look at the minute allotment and just the general kind of weird circumstance that this game was played in. But with a team like the Lakers, like the way that I kind of spelled it out in yesterday's show, one of the theories heading into this was that the teams that rely heavily on 3-point shooting were going to take a step back offensively because it's going to take time for them to figure out a rhythm, right? And what we found out is that, like, actually, no, those teams are just as good, if not better, at hitting those 3-pointers. It's the teams that aren't as good at hitting 3-pointers that really took a step back, right? Which kind of sort of makes sense.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it, but it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and so like for the Lakers, who are already at a mathematic disadvantage, that now just gets even more heightened because of the circumstance. And now to go from that to now not getting those that amount of shots up, and on top of that, turning the ball over 24 times, like it's a marvel that this was ever close at any point throughout the game.
And that maybe that's, you know, maybe I'm just state-run TV now, but like,
yeah,
that's the thing, man. Like all of that, like we hit like 2 threes, we didn't play any of our dudes, and we were thin. Like, again, that wasn't Houston's best shot, and no. Russ didn't play. I don't want to act like, you know, this was a playoff intensity game. Just from a strictly a talent perspective, they were running a 7-man rotation, and we were doing what we were doing, two totally opposite ends of the spectrum with the approach to the game, aside from Russ sitting. And I don't know, man, like all of what you said there is true. I just think that it's temporary, right? Like, look, maybe I'm a fool and a week from now, we're still chucking up bricks and shooting everybody outside of Kuz is shooting 13% from three. Like, maybe that's what the future looks like. And this is some cursed gym, right? That's got some spell over it for the Lakers where we can't hit crap.
This is us. It's just a brick house.
Yeah, man. And like, I'll come back and on the show and be like, yo, I'm sorry. I didn't think we'd shoot freaking 13% outside of Kuz or whatever we're shooting, but we did. I just don't think that's the version of the future that's coming up for us.
My hope is that everybody else around Kuzma progresses to the mean when he regresses, because then it's really ugly. Then the math really gets a little nerve-wracking. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about a potential second round matchup between the Lakers and Houston Rockets. I'll tell you one thing's for sure. If these two teams match up, I'm going to have to really watch my tweets directed at Houston writers.
That was an unfortunate slip of the tongue.
Man, I've been working out and everything, and I'm sitting here giving myself boobs. But yeah, the... Let's just say the city of Houston as a sports city, I'd be perfectly fine if they lost all their teams. with this matchup though on a basketball court, like I said earlier, I think Davis especially really wanted to kind of see how Tucker guards him, see if he could get reps against that kind of defense. And
I love that observation. Yeah.
The one nice thing about the Morris edition is that, like, Morris obviously isn't the defender that P.J. Tucker is, but in practice, Davis can get a few reps against that kind of, you know, like everybody has their best shooter try to be like Steph when they're getting ready to play against the Warriors, or try to be like so-and-so when they're playing against a different team. Morris, to me, with a low center of gravity, I think he could kind of really kind of bother Davis in practice in the same ways that I think PJ Tucker really bothers him out there on the court. And the comparison I always make, because Davis feels like a modern evolution of Kareem, is Moses Malone, where it's just somebody who is so low to the ground, so impossible to move, has such a physical mentality about him that I think can really bother somebody like Davis, who, because of his skill level, because of his athleticism level, isn't quite ready to deal with that kind of a player.
Sure.
And you know, I'm kind of wondering, do you think the Lakers have learned enough to this point to know that they can't rely on Anthony Davis isolations against somebody like PJ Tucker?
Yes. I was actually kind of intrigued to see how they used AD in this game. A couple things that stood out is he was at the top of the key a lot more, that they posted him up less, at least on the elbow, than they had in the past. They had him more at the top of the key. He did have some post-ups, and you do want him there. I think that the attacking the front of the rim against them is particularly important, but it's a matter of how. They have a lot of fool's gold to their defense, right? Like these really tempting one-on-one matchups that,
yeah,
in reality, they're actually not that great of a match, like not really efficient, but they kind of tempt you like,
yeah,
oh,
I think you're open, bud.
You know? Uh-huh, right. Yeah. Like, oh, he's guarding him? Yeah, let's do that. And that's true. But the way to do that is to not necessarily throw the ball to Anthony Davis 15 feet away from the basket. What they did a lot tonight in the first half was they attacked the basket and they tried to get in the middle of the defense and just get the ball up on the boards. I know that sounds silly. Throw the ball in the air. I mean, if you make it,
play some volleyball.
But that's where we win a series against the Houston Rockets between 9 and 12 feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we win it against them.
Yeah.
And that's on the defensive end, when we're on defense, that means funneling James Harden into these high arcing floaters. It means on offense, you know, attacking the front of the rim, which again, LeBron James, who I think in the post would be very critical, because while AD has some issues as a passer, LeBron, that's obviously a strength, and he can spin off of guys and score. I think we take a full on assault at the front of the rim, and it's an aerial type attack mm-hmm. against rather than a ground. Like PJ Tucker is a bulldozer. He's like a guy that is going to win the ground.
Earth Nation.
Right. He is Earth Nation. Yes, he is. Right. And, Anthony Davis is more of an airbender water himself, defender, right? Like, he's more up in the sky, right? He's like that pterodactyl, that guy that's flying through and very graceful. But him, get him around the basket and up in the air, and that goes for Dwight too. If you're going to play Dwight, I don't think you can be playing two big lineups against mm-hmm. them. But if Dwight's going to be in the game, Dwight needs to be punishing dudes on the offensive boards.
Yeah.
Houston needs to swarm us, and so I think ball fakes are going to be really important against them.
Yes.
LeBron's ability to like,
because like lost art,
right? Like if PJ Tucker is going to be like three-quarter denial of fronting AD, and we throw that pass over the top, Robert Covington or Jeff Green or whoever's on that weak side, they better be busting their ass to rotate over, because if not, AD's going to dunk that. I think mm-hmm. AD would put up huge numbers in a series against Houston. But we can use that, like they have to send so much extra attention into the paint to swing the ball back out and use a ball fake. And, oh, you thought it was going to go here. Actually, it's going to go on the other side of the court. Yep. And then hopefully not shoot freaking 23% from 3-point range on wide open threes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, the other thing I would really like to see the Lakers do more of is get PJ Tucker moving, right? Like to continue the Earth Nation analogy here, like when I think it was Aang was like learning to fight against an earthbender or something like that. The big thing was get him on off balance, right? Don't let him mm-hmm. ground himself, because that's where their power comes from. And for Tucker, mm-hmm. quite literally with Tucker, what he wants to do is be stationary and take a charge. You know, mm-hmm. he's not going to contest at the top. Maybe he'll use quicker hands to strip on the way up. But more often than not, what he's looking to do is take a charge. And that's mm-hmm. really hard. That becomes a lot harder to do when that player is moving. So mm-hmm. like that's where, you know, sometimes those plays where the ball just kind of swings over and AD has a ball 15 feet away and Tucker gets to just stand there with 2 feet on the ground.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. possession's lost. That's a lost possession. You're not going to score often enough or enough points per possession on those plays to make that worthwhile. And so, and, you know, like you're talking about, whether it's those kind of backdoor spinoffs that, you know, the lobs that get thrown up at the rim, you know, even backdoor screens being set. Like, I think that's where Alex Caruso can really play a role. He's not going to spread the floor as a shooter, but can he set a bunch of back screens from the point guard spot that give PJ Tucker problems? Sure. You know, stuff like that. And again, like, I think tonight, I think was kind of being seen as a version of practice, basically, for Davis to look at, all right, I want so many touches in this portion of the court while being guarded by Tucker. I want mm-hmm. so many catches or possessions at this spot and this spot, you know, and however the game plays out, then that's how the game is going to play out. And I think there's use for that. But overall, I think the way that the Lakers are going to beat the Rockets, and it's exactly like you were saying, is just get all these defenders either overcommitting or make them, especially Tucker, put them in motion so that they can't do exactly what they want to do, defensive possession after defensive possession. Because he is an incredible defender in those spots. And mm-hmm. If you allow him to become an incredible defender, then, you know, what you don't want to do is make the other team the best version of themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then on the other end of the court, we need to chase them off of the 3-point line. What I would want is, we're not giving up step backs to James Harden. And that means whoever switches onto him, your job is to sit on his left shoulder, not so close as to, you know, you're, or even in behind him, right? But not so close as to he's going to pull up and draw a foul, but you're funneling him. And as soon as he crosses the 3-point line, you're in rotation, right? Because you're going to get beat off of the dribble if you sit on his left shoulder. So that means that somebody's going to have to rotate over. And then, but say that's Anthony Davis that's rotated onto Harden and he's sitting on his shoulder. He's got the length to bother him if he's close enough, but doesn't have to be so close as to foul him. Kuz had a couple blocks on Harden in this game. He's got good length to put on him. And your job is to not let him shoot a step back. Mm-hmm. If he goes to the rack, that's not your fault. Your job, as soon as he crosses that 3-point line, rotate to the wing, because that guy's going to pull from the corner. The wing's going to drop from the corner, from the wing to the corner to cover the guy that's helping on Harden. And then AD's closing out, and AD can cover that space. And he's got that long wingspan and all of that. But to me, like, there would be a fast no step backs rule for James Harden. And I think that you take a lot of the math out of what they do if you can do that. And it's a lot easier to prepare for that in a 7-game series against the Rockets than it is when the Rockets are one of many teams coming up on the schedule.
Absolutely. I've even seen some teams actually force Harden left in some spots, because a step back for most shooters is actually easier going to your right, because the ball is just naturally in your hand and then your feet line up perfectly. But as Harden has become adept enough at hitting that step back going to his left, that's not really an option anymore. You can't right. do that, because on top of him being good enough at that shot and then now creating so much space that you literally cannot contest on, you know, it's going while he's going to his left. He's, and on top of even that, like, he's going to get to the basket if he wants to. At least if he's stepping back to his right, there's a way that you can either get your hand up in his face where, you know, it's a decent enough challenge, and you're not going to be, you know, he's not going to go out of his way, or as he's not going to make it look so easy or natural to go out of his way and put his arms or the ball in a spot where he can draw the foul.
You can't do that with every bit of personnel that you have, right? You have to have a certain degree of length to be able to challenge that. But, you know, any ball screens or any situation, we didn't see, like, I'm sure a lot of teams have trapped Harden in back, you know, like 35 mm-hmm. feet from the hoop and then gone. That's another place we can go into rotation. We're an elite rotation team. Like, yeah. We're really good on our defensive rotations. And so we need to play. It's like, it's just a matter of playing into what do you do best. So if I've got a switch, you know, if I've got AD or even Dwight, those guys, their job is to, you know, because if you're sitting on his left shoulder and he's a left-handed shooter, like, he's going to get that off, that step back you're talking about going to his right against mm-hmm. KCP. It's not going to be as easy if it's Dwight or if it's especially Anthony Davis, right? If they're sitting on that move mm-hmm. and they're willing to give up that drive to the basket. And
you almost have to, like, jump past him, you know, mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the contest. Because if you jump at him, he's going to fall backwards.
He's going to foul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be foul. Right. No, but what I'm saying is that we've got the length to be able to do that. And then if we wanted to trap 35 feet away, it plays into our strength of being able to rotate. Like, KCP is hit and miss. There've been some defensive things I haven't liked that I've seen from him, but he can rotate really well. That's a strength of Caruso's. Caruso can overhelp. But if you get into rotation, they're going to fly around, man. And we got LeBron is great at this. It's a real strength of this team. Kuz has become very good at doing this. So I do think that there's a way to defend them. But to me, like, yo, I can't help you if you're letting James Harden step back and knock down threes in your eye. Yeah. Just take that away, that move away. Trust everything else. I think we'll be all right.
Well, yeah. And actually, that's really well put, especially not being able to help, because there is literally nobody else involved in that play if he steps
right. back. We can't help you.
There's nothing anybody else can do mm-hmm. on that play. I don't think Caldwell looks healthy. I don't think KCP looks healthy. I want to pay a little bit more close attention to that. He's taken a couple hits here and there and stuff, but he hasn't looked healthy in the bubble so far. All right, that's going to do it, though, for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I don't know if you guys can still hear it. The misses are still going on in the background. It's been tough to watch. Hopefully that turns around. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Get your questions in on iTunes.